Our first reading for today is from the 6th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the 8th chapter of John. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. He who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. This is the word of the Lord. We continue our recitation with the sacrament of holy baptism. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16:16. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's amazing when you read through some of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, and especially the Gospel of John, how often John recounts that people really had no idea what Jesus was talking about half the time, that they were greatly, greatly confused, especially some of the Jews. And it's kind of hard for us to always understand what it must have been like for them. Because after all, we even in our church, you look up here and you see a cross. I mean, you know how the story is going to end, and not technically end. That's kind of the beginning of the end being the resurrection from the dead on Easter, the ascension into heaven, the final coming and the second judgment. I mean, we know all of this, but they don't. And so a lot of times when they hear what Jesus is saying, it doesn't make sense to them. It's going over their heads. They're fighting it. And we would be no different. Allow me to say that. But today what Jesus spoke about is so, so precious. It's the core of what we believe. Especially when you look at this cross and think of Good Friday. And as we think of Easter, the resurrection of the dead. But so much of it they were missing. Here's just a portion that Jesus said to the Jews today that they didn't understand it, even to the Jews who believed in him. They still didn't understand. Here's what he said. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And they didn't understand what he was talking about. They were wrestling, they were trying, but it didn't make sense to them. Because ultimately, and as Jesus himself said, they wouldn't really get it until they saw the Son of Man lifted up. And that's what he's talking about. They wouldn't get it until they actually crucified him. The very people he came to save. They wouldn't understand until they kill him. And then 3 days later, see him rise from the dead. And realize, and they put all this two and two together. And realize this is what he's been talking about. And not only for him. Everything that he did in this death and in his resurrection. All of that. It was kind of condensed down, boiled down, packed tightly together, and given to us. And that's ultimately where he's going with all of this. That's ultimately where Jesus is heading. That he takes his death, he takes his resurrection, kind of boils it together. And if you could infuse all of that into one thing, it's baptism. The place where everything that he did for us in his death and in his resurrection, all of that is placed into a font and then poured over us, given to us. That's what they were not understanding. And it took time, right? I mean, we know how the story ends. They didn't. I wouldn't have gotten it if I was back there. I doubt any of us would have. Some did, but not really. But its final culmination is all poured into that baptismal font. I think one of my favorite people in the Bible, and I can't wait to meet him in heaven, is the Apostle Paul. I love the Apostle Paul. Persecutor of the church, murdered Christians, hunted down men, women, and children. I mean, the guy was ruthless. He was on fire for what he thought God wanted. But he was wrong, wrong, wrong. He didn't get it, did he? Not until Christ met him and Christ himself converted him. Such a beautiful story. And it's the Apostle Paul who then articulated for us in such a beautiful way today the benefits of baptism, what Jesus does through simple water and word, that basically he pours over us his death and his resurrection. And this is what Paul said today about this baptism. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. I love that one line, for one who has died has been set free from sin. I mean, just think of it that way. If someone dies, what can they no longer do anymore? Sin, right? They're dead. They can't sin anymore. But instead of killing all of us, our Lord Jesus Christ killed us in that font, had our old nature crucified with Jesus. And other times Paul says drowned, describes it in those ways, buried with Jesus, put to death. But the end is the same. A part of you is dead. And you should thank God every single day that God has loved you so much that he has made a part of you dead, a part of me dead. That every single day of our lives, when we wake up, we can remind ourselves that Jesus Christ crucified our sinful nature with him on Good Friday. When Jesus Christ died, he wasn't alone. And I'm not talking about the two thieves crucified next to him. When Jesus Christ died, a part of us died with him, our sinful nature. Every Christian's sinful nature was crucified with him, buried with him, put to death with him, dead. So that you are no longer the same person anymore. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new day when we arise, and as Luther's morning prayer says, live a new life in Christ. Every single day is a resurrection for us. And that's just a tiny glimpse of the big resurrection that is going to belong to all of us in the resurrection of the dead. As Paul said, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Our resurrection from the dead is our promise. That will happen. That day will come for all the saints in Christ. We will live again. And our bodies will have that sinful nature finally removed. Even from our very DNA itself, we will be fixed, redeemed, bought back from every ounce of what the devil has done to us in this life. And we will live again. For one simple reason, he lives again. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, so will you. We all will. And this is what our small catechism captured so beautifully in one sentence today. What benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Keep in mind all of the benefits in baptism of forgiveness of sins, being rescued from death and the devil, promise of eternal salvation. All of that is given to you not because it's written in the small catechism. It's given to you because God has promised that. He has declared that that is yours. And that is something nothing in this world can ever take away from you. I don't care how rich or poor you are. I don't care how healthy you are or how sick you are. I don't care how troubled you are or how happy you are as a Christian. It doesn't matter. Because in the end, nothing can ever take these promises away from you. Because God has made these promises to you, and he has sealed these promises to you in your baptism into Christ, where you also share in his death and in his resurrection. These are all yours. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.